Good evening. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 2. I want to think for a few minutes about chapter 2, verse 20. But before we do, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we thank you for the written word, which tells us about him. And tells us about the blessings that come to us because of his death on the cross. And we pray that as we think for a time about his death and its meaning for us, and then as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we pray that you would be pleased to bless us, and that our meditation and our thoughts will be pleasing to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think it's a good exercise to ask ourselves from time to time what it means to be a Christian. This is a fairly fundamental question and could be phrased perhaps, what do I expect in life as a Christian? Or what should I expect in myself as a Christian? There are a lot of answers that have been suggested. There is the idea that being a Christian means embarking upon a moral life, being a good person. Perhaps some outside of the Christian arena think that we propose that we are holier than they and have a great degree of self-righteousness, but some people consider the fundamental element of the Christian life to be a moral life. Others perhaps might think that they would describe it as a wonderful life, personal fulfillment, personal satisfaction, solution for some of the personal problems that we might have, the things that vex us as we live our lives from day to day. Others would suggest that what it means to be a Christian is to be in a prosperous life, personal success and prosperity. I think that viewpoint, which seems to be a prominent thought in some corners in America, might be limited to America with all the prosperity that we have. There would be some people that would really question that, even in America. A more popular viewpoint about what it means to be a Christian is that it is a purposeful or a purpose-driven life. That is, you have an important role to play in your life, a significant role to play. And being a Christian brings you in line with that particular role that you have. More troubling description of Christianity is given by a man by the name of Alan Wolfe, who wrote a book called The Transformation of American Religion, and he's not a Christian man. And he suggests that there are no substantive distinctives, no substantial distinctives in being a Christian, just some distinctions in certain moral or political viewpoints, such as the viewpoint of Christian people on abortion and homosexuality and some of these so-called political subjects. But otherwise, being a Christian is not any different than just being a good red-blooded American looking for the good life. But when we turn to the scripture, I think it's very clear that we find that the key to understanding the significance of Christianity and what it means to be a Christian is found in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is seen probably more easily when we think about how we become a Christian. Since our first parents, Adam and Eve, sinned, the entire race has fallen under the condemnation of God. Scripture is very clear. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And so the only outcome for every human being is death with eternal damnation. But the good news of the Bible is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became a man and died on the cross in our place. By his death, he satisfied the justice of God, and by dying on the cross, he became accursed of God in our place. And in fact, we have two physical reminders of that truth in baptism and in the Lord's Supper, both of which focus upon the entry into Christianity and the participation in Christianity through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and our union with him in that death. So that a Christian is one who's been forgiven because of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross as our substitute before the wrath of God. But not as obvious is the fact that the cross is also significant in understanding and living our lives daily as a Christian. And our text for the evening states this as well as any. Galatians 2:20, reading from the English Standard Version, which is almost word for word the same as the New King James Version. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. It goes without saying in the book of Galatians that Paul is concerned about the gospel, the call to be saved, but uniquely in Galatians, I think that he is really focusing upon what it means to live as a Christian and how we're to live as a Christian. If you look back up to verse 14 of chapter 2, you'll see that he was troubled that people's conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel. He was concerned that their conduct was not becoming of a Christian. In chapter 2, verse 19, just before our text, he talks about dying to the law that he might live to God. He's concerned about how he might live to the glory and honor of God. In chapter 3, verse 3, he says, are you so foolish, having begun living as a Christian by the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? He's concerned about how they are maturing as Christian people and living out their faith. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 3, he says, in the past, we were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. And then in chapter 5, verse 1, he says, we have freedom in Christ. For freedom, Christ has set us free so that we're no longer in slavery. So he's talking about living free from bondage to sin. And then in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, he talks about walking in the Spirit and not gratifying the desires of the flesh. And then finally in chapter 6, verse 15, he says, neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. That is, we are a new creation in Christ. So that Paul wants to teach us about the Christian life. And when he wants to teach us about the Christian life, his emphasis is not on the quality or the characteristics of life as a Christian per se, but upon Jesus Christ and the cross. Hence our text, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I want to think about this text under a couple of headings. They are, first of all, that we are crucified with Christ. I died, basically. And secondly, that I'm not dead, that I'm alive. Christ lives in me, and I live by faith, live in the flesh by faith in the Son of God. So first of all, considering the truth that we have been crucified with Christ. Well, that, of course, indicates that Christ was crucified, that Christ died. And the question comes then, if I have been crucified with Christ, why did Christ die? So that perhaps will get me a little closer to understanding what it means that I have died with him. Well, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, it says he gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So that Paul would understand, Galatians teaches, that our sins demanded his death. And that when he died, he delivered us from our sins, delivered us from this present evil age, the bondage of sin. And so that his death is an offering to God to deliver us from sin itself, and from the condemnation of sin. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, says, in considering the death of Christ, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So that Christ's death means that he became accursed of God. Accursed is everyone who doesn't abide by all the things that are written in the law. And the cross is a visible symbol of that curse of God given to us from Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 23, where this quote is made, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So that Paul would teach us that Christ died bearing the curse of God for our sins to deliver us from our sins. Now, you know in the book of Galatians that Peter is rebuked by Paul for giving a false impression of this message, but actually he agrees with Paul. So there is no conflict. And we see that in 1 Peter when Peter writes and tells us in 1 Peter 1:19 that we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish or without spot. Or in chapter 2, verse 24 in 1 Peter, saying, he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree that we might die to sins and live to righteousness. By his wounds or by his stripes you have been healed. And then chapter 3, verse 18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. So that the answer to the question is why did Christ die is that he was crucified as a sacrifice to justify the justice or to satisfy the justice of our holy God. But the text says that I've been crucified with Christ. And when Paul says that I have been crucified with Christ, he cannot mean that his death, that Paul's death, as he writes, or my death as I apply it to myself, has the same significance as Christ's death. Christ died as a sinless substitute. The sins of the world were placed upon him. That is, the sins of the people of God. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all, from Isaiah 53:6. Christ died so that we need not die. In contrast, my death with Christ does not help any other person, and it isn't any meritorious death with me. I think the scripture is very clear in saying that. So that when we talk about being crucified with Christ, we're not talking about us atoning for the sins of any other person or even for ourselves. Something else is meant by this. I think what's meant by this is that we are so joined or united with Christ that the effect of Christ's death is the same as if we personally died. His death is accounted for as our death. So that when Christ died, I died. When Christ died, you died if you're a believer. Christ's death removes my sin and my guilt. So that's the same as if I paid the penalty for that sin as well because of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. So that my death with Christ means that I get the benefits of his death for me. And my death with Christ then removes the dominion of sin and guilt and death and ends obligations, inabilities, and tendencies to continue in the pathway of sin. But the issue in Galatians is how can we live properly in this lifetime? And the death of Christ, or our union with the death of Christ, explains part of it in the sense that it removes dominion of sin and death. But how does that help me live today, to be crucified with Christ? Well, the crowning benefit of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ is our union with him not just in his death, but in his resurrection. The discussion about the merit or the value of being crucified with Christ would not be relevant today as we live our lives if Christ and we remain dead. The value of our union with Christ in his death is that he was raised, and we also. And that is clearly taught by Paul, explicitly so, in chapter 6 of Romans, where we read, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? But he doesn't leave it there. We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Or in chapter 7, verse 4, he says, likewise, my brothers, you have also died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. So that the value of being crucified with Christ and being joined in his death is the value also of being united with him in his resurrection. So that the death of Christ and our union with him is not the end of existence, but the beginning of new life in Christ. The death of Christ is not just a legal transaction where God is appeased by the substitute of one for another. Because remember, Paul is concerned about how we live as Christian people today and what it means to be a Christian, how we live in maturity and as a new creation. And our union with Christ in his death guarantees our union with him in his resurrection to a new life. And so therefore, Paul says, as we look at the second point, nevertheless I live, or I live the life that I now live. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The dilemma of living in the world is twofold. It is the condemnation of sin, the eternal wrath of God, and it is the power of sin, our inability to live righteously. And the crucifixion of Christ, the cross of Christ, deals with both of these issues. The penalty of sin is removed by a substitutionary death, but the power of sin is replaced by the power of the resurrection life of Christ. And that's expressed for us in several places, but Ephesians chapter 2, I think, states it quite well in a familiar passage where it says, even when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Or when Christ tells the disciples to abide in him and bear much fruit, it implies the fact that he's alive and that he's able to empower them to bear much fruit, and that they're not invited to abide with him only in his death, but also in his new life. So how does this come to pass? How is it that we experience this resurrection life in our lives? Well, Paul says here that Christ lives in me. He is talking now about how we live today. That is, how I live in the flesh, he's talking about, as it says in the text here. And he tells us in Galatians chapter 4 that we are no longer slaves to sin, but we live freely, free from the dominion of sin. And the reason is because Christ lives within us. The resurrection life of Christ is within us. And that is experienced as an absolute, that's true. But he also says that he lives this life with Christ living in him by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So that there is an active response by the believer which was hindered by prior to the cross. So that before the cross, the dominion of sin and death existed, but after the cross, that dominion is taken away. And because of Christ living within us, we are now enabled to live righteously. And so we live by faith. And it's an active part on our own. If it was just Christ living in us, we would get up and not think about anything, and we would just live our lives, and we would be holy. That is true, that we live our lives with Christ within us, but he has so ordered it that he wants us to live by faith, and we live by faith in the Son of God. And that means that our focus is upon the Lord Jesus Christ and not the blessings of our salvation. Our focus is upon how he lived in this world. What was his relationship to the world? What did he teach and command as a proper conduct in this world? And when we live by faith, it means we embrace those ideas and instructions that we get out of the Word of God. And we seek to obey them and to follow them, realizing that we are enabled to do that because of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ in his death and in his resurrection. It means that we trust in the merits and the value of his love and his death for us. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. those who are loved of God and who are included in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ are, as we read in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, delivered from this present evil world. So that means that our attitude toward this present evil world is going to reflect the attitude of the Lord Jesus Christ. It talks about in Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, that those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, so that those who belong to Christ have turned away from the natural passions and desires of the flesh and have a new order of passions and desires implanted by the Lord Jesus Christ within. It means we glory in the cross. Those who are trusting in the value of the love and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ for us delight in the cross and take pleasure in it. And so we don't come to the communion table just as a ritual that we do, but we come because we believe that it is the crucial element in saving us from our sins and enabling us to live day by day, so that we actively seek the benefits of his death and his resurrection for us. When we live by faith in the Son of God, it means we're not hindered or distracted by what we see. You know, it's easier to see the value of food and clothing and housing than the value of holiness. But when you live by faith, you value holiness better than those other items that you see. It's easier to see the value of a friend on earth than Christ, whom we cannot see. And yet when we live by faith, we live trusting that the friendship of Christ as our Savior is much more valuable than a friend that we can see. It's easier to see the value of pleasure in this lifetime that we might have rather than the pleasures of the life to come. And yet when we live by faith, we're willing to forego the pleasures, the so-called pleasures of this lifetime, as we pursue the pleasures of the life to come, so that we live with spiritual values and not temporal values when we realize that Christ lives within us and we live by faith in the Son of God. But it means, too, that we are going to be diligent in seeking to strengthen our faith. And of course, we know that the strengthening of our faith comes through the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As we read and hear the Word of God, we are enabled to be strong and to live more faithfully before God, so that when we live by faith in the Son of God, it means all of these things. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live in flesh. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So when we get back to the question of what does it mean to be a Christian, we say it means to be crucified with Christ, which means we're dead to sin. That's a statement of fact. Sin will not dominate us if we're believers. But it's a statement of practice as well, because if we are crucified with Christ, there is a hatred for sin, because he was crucified for our sins. And so that ought to affect the way we think about sin. You know, the things we think about, the things we do, the temptations that we fall into, those things, we ought to realize that we're crucified with Christ and he died for those sins. Even the things we look at or read, those things that are marked by sin. You know, if we are crucified with Christ, what it means to be a Christian is that there is an avoidance of that, and not an embracing of that. And too often, I think, there's a temptation in Christian people to show that we're sophisticated and we know all about sin. We know these things that people are doing, and we can read about it, or we can watch it on TV or watch a movie, and it doesn't affect us. But when you're crucified with Christ, Christ died for those sins if they're in your life. And to enjoy them at any level is confusing at best. To be crucified with Christ means we're dead to the world. It's interesting, when Christ was raised from the dead, he didn't visit the world at all. The unbelievers never saw him. He exclusively limited his contacts to the believers. On the other hand, he has told us that we're to remain in the world for the time being. And so it's a pattern, however, that he was distinct from the world, so that it's a statement of fact. The world is not our home or our focal point, but it's also a statement of practice that we're not to love the world, because we have been crucified with Christ. All that is in the world is opposed to Jesus Christ. It would lead us astray. And if we're crucified with Christ and we truly understand that, then we're going to want to avoid it and not to embrace it. We're going to fear the temptations that it might bring to us, and we're going to appreciate the blessings that come to us because of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. To be crucified with Christ means we live in newness of life, basically. We died with him, but we were raised with him. We delight in spiritual things and not temporal things. And I think it's a good test for us every day to ask ourselves that question. You know, what does it mean to me that I'm crucified with Christ? When I do certain things, when I'm going to watch something or look at something or go someplace, you know, how does my participation in this reflect the fact that I'm crucified with Christ and reflect the fact that he died for sin and died to deliver me from sin? I think it's a very good test for us to think about. And then as we come to the communion table, I think it's really fraudulent to partake of the communion table as we remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and celebrate our union with him in his death, and then to go out from here and live as if the cross of Christ means absolutely nothing to us on a practical basis. So I think as we reflect over what it means to be crucified with Christ and to be have Christ living in us now and to live by faith in the Son of God, I think we need to ask God to give us grace to value that union that we have with him and enable us to live as Christian people as he has designated it here, as people who are reflecting all that meant when Christ died on the cross and all that he achieved when he died on the cross for our sins. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for his death on the cross. We thank you for our union with him in his death on the cross and our union with him in his resurrection. And we thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ lives within us. And we pray, Father, that we would value that, that we would hate sin, that we would be very, very careful about the temptations of the world, that we would be zealous for spiritual things and not temporal things, and that we would live in such a way that people would look upon us and see that we're not seeking the good life, that we're not seeking personal prosperity, but we're seeking to manifest the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that by your grace and your mercy that that would be the case. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.